This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning. I'm Sharad Kutin, with me, Tan Chung Han, and Brian Fernandez with the top business news of the day. We have FGV, ongoing story. A story that, Han, you say, you know, doesn't stop giving. We also have Top Glove in our crosshairs. Let's begin with FGV. There's a lot of talk that Dato' Vira Azhar Hamid is widely tipped to take over as CEO of FGV, replacing Dato' Zakaria Arshad, currently suspended. And this is because of his sudden resignation from energy producer, power producer Malakoff.
Yeah, so essentially, now this is according to media reports, essentially this is because Dato' Vira Azhar has got experience in the plantation space. He did, he was the managing director of Siam Dabi Plantations.
But, you know, very quickly, as you clear your throat,
I mean, this will
give it some relief there. It seems to be predicated on the belief that Zakaria Arshad is out. I mean, we know he's suspended. It's not clear that he's out. We also know that the chairman, as opposed to the CEO, the chairman, Isa Samad, is out because he has voluntarily resigned and has been moved to SPAD. Mm. So the question is the assumption, the underlying assumption that Zakaria Arshad is out, a valid one?
Let me take that, because I think that at this point of time, it's purely speculation and we should leave it at that. I think the investigations have to run its course. But at this point of time, what we really need to ask ourselves is, with all the speculation, how did Azhar actually do, Dato' Azhar do at Malakoff? So he was there for about a year. He was appointed in May the 1st last year. And interestingly enough, our research showed that at that point of time, Malakoff's market capitalization was $8.2 billion. Can you guess what it is today? It's $5.45 billion.
So it's come down?
It's come down by almost 33%.
Okay.
Yeah, so you've got those kind of indicators, but then also, say, looking at the earnings at Malakoff for the three full quarters that he was there. Again, you know, he came in May, so let's take it from like the second half of last year onwards. So for the three full quarters that Dato' Vira Azhar helmed Malakoff, you've got two quarters of on-year declines in net profit. So you've got those kind of numbers, you know, perhaps indicating the kind of performance of his leadership at Malakoff. But, you know, he has done the GLC circuit, so it wasn't just Siam Darby. You know, before that, he was with Pernas, although now it's now called Tradewinds. He was with MRT Corp as well. So perhaps that familiarity with the GLCs and the sensitivities, if I can call it that, you know, coupled with his experience in the plantation sector, that might, you know, go some ways towards, you know, lending himself to be a good candidate for the FGV job.
The other thing that he was widely commended for was really his resignation from his position at MRT Corporation. He resigned shortly after three workers were killed on a work site. And in fact, the Star at that time in August 2014 ran a story commending him on the fact that it was a rare occasion where a GLC CEO took responsibility for mistakes under his watch. So we've just got to give that a balanced perspective in terms of someone who, he seems to be someone who perhaps has, you know, integrity and accountability.
Also, the question back to FGV and the problems there we have. Remember, we talked about a face-off. Now it looks like, if this story is to be believed, that both men in this face-off are going in very different directions. But be that as it may, the MACC is still pursuing the story. Mm. We have news in the front page of the NST this morning that MACC is investigating both Isa Samad, the former chairman, and his wife.
And apparently they are both going to make an appearance at the MACC headquarters today at 10 a.m., so about an hour or so from now. We'll see, you know, what kind of headlines come out of that appearance at the MACC headquarters by, Tan Sri Muhammad Isa and his wife. Now, they are just a couple of some 60 witnesses who are being investigated in relation to the FGV saga. Now, here's an interesting note, though, because, you know, so often when we talk about what's going on with FGV, apparently it was triggered by that Dilima and Salifex deal, right? But apparently, according to some reported comments from the MACC, that is just one of six issues that they are actually looking into. So perhaps the troubles at FGV extends beyond just that dilemma instance. Right?
Okay, there's also this interesting insight into the way MACC works, because unless Tan Sri Issa Samad's wife had a position at FGV, the reason what is the purpose of her being there? How does she serve as a witness in the possible allegations of corruption?
Again, MACC would have the definitive answer to that. But again, according to media reports, apparently in the past, a top official at FGV and his wife had been, going about taking some rather luxurious flights, certainly not economy class, when apparently that was not allowed. So you've got that possible connection. I don't know. We have to ask the MACC. But Sharad, if we may just quickly go back to that original question that you had, right? So essentially, where does this all leave Dato Zakaria? You got to keep in mind, in yesterday's statement from the Prime Minister's office, they had stated that there is enough or sufficient evidence whereby the FGV board could initiate disciplinary proceedings against Dato Zakaria. So you got to keep that in mind. Also, there's a paragraph in the Edge article talking about how an internal investigation allegedly found Zakaria to have provided unapproved extension of a credit limit line by Dilima Oil to Safitex.
Okay, so we have this situation when we started off the face-off, which was Issa Samad saying he wouldn't resign, he has resigned. Zakaria Arshad saying he's going to fight this, and he's brought on board on his team Shafi Abdullah, a top UMNO lawyer, mm-hmm. to fight his case. Is he going to now turn turtle and say, no, okay, I'm going to leave as well because I'm under the shadow of all these allegations?
Sharad, as I've often said, this is a story that keeps on giving.
Okay, speaking of giving, Top Glove is looking to diversify into the condom business. Top Glove Corporation is the world's largest rubber glove manufacturing, and it's looking to venture into this because, the gloves and gloves, no matter where you put it, they still have the same function. Prophylactic one, that is. Okay. Brian, what do we know of this move?
So, interestingly enough, what the expansion plans are in the initial stages, where they will invest 30 million to set up 10 to 20 lines. And they're targeting the first year production of 1 billion pieces of condoms. Now, as part of their overall expansion, Tan Sri Lim Wee Chai set out his plans to get 30% global market share by 2020 from his current 25% global market share.
But this is a global market share of gloves.
Yeah,
not condoms.
That's not of condoms, that's right.
Right, and we have here Tan Sri Lim Wee Chai, who told BFM about Top Glove's edge in this venture for the condom business.
Our competitive advantage is our market size. We have 195 countries coverage. We have 2,000-3,000 customers. We have glove technology that I think give us some time we can do better. We have a good research center. Financially strength, we are much bigger.
Again, there was Tan Sri Lim Wee Chai, chairman of Top Glove, saying that size does matter. And it looks like, obviously, Top Glove is not very stiff, in a sense that they're able to diversify away from the rubber glove space, leverage on what they already have, and move into the condom space, right?
Okay. The condom space, which is now occupied by Carex, which is the largest condom manufacturer in the world. I mean, how much of a competition is this going to provide to Carex, and how, in fact, is Carex even going to respond to it?
Well, to put it in perspective, Carex currently churns out 5 billion condoms a year. Top Glove is going to do 1 billion in the first year. So 20% of Carex already in the first year. So that's quite a threat potentially to Carex, which has revenues of 77 million US or 330 million ringgit in 2016. So that's going to be stiff competition.
And I hope this is not a premature decision here on the part of Top Glove, because when you see again the kind of hold that that Carex has in this space, but obviously there's enough room for, both of them to play in the same space. We've got comments again from Tan Sri Lim Wee Chai saying that they're going to start small in this endeavor, as I think, I believe, you know, a lot of ventures in the condom space do.
Okay, but there's also some diversification issues here in the industry. Supermax Corp, which is the world's second largest rubber glove manufacturer by volume, is going into the contact lens business.
Yeah, you know, so this actually is Supermax, right?
Yeah, Supermax. Yeah.
So there is this diversification theme going on among these rubber industry players. You know, it's not just Top Glove, it's not just Supermax. Yeah, like you mentioned, they have already diversified into contact lenses. I mean, even the kind of ingenuity, if you want to call it that, by Carex, they've got apparently durian flavored condoms as well. That's according to a recent news article by Channel News Asia. So, plenty of interesting developments over there.
I think one of the things with Supermax and Carex, it's really about ensuring that there isn't flaccid performance moving forward. The contact lens business actually gives 60% profit margins. So that's really going to hit to improve performance significantly.
Okay, we're moving up to the news shortly, and after that we'll have the opening numbers on the stock market and an end to this prophylactic humor. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.